This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. In a few minutes, a look at why big business should invest in the inner city.
First, here is an economic indicator that fits in a cooler. It's a bottle of Coca-Cola. I just opened it. Coke is a big business all around the world, especially in Africa. 36 billion bottles are sold each year. Coke's presence goes so deep into the economies that some people think you can use Coca-Cola sales as a key indicator of political stability.
Which is to say, where Coke is selling well, you'll likely find a stable country. That's the argument of Jonathan Lejard. He's the Africa correspondent for The Economist magazine. We spoke with him in Nairobi, Kenya. And first of all, Jonathan, Coca-Cola says it's the largest private employer in Africa. How deep does this business go into these economies?
The price of just a classic glass bottle of Coke in Kenya, where I am, for example, is 17 Kenyan shillings, which is about a third of the price of a newspaper. So it runs pretty deep into the economy to a level that obviously the very poorest cannot afford it. But the poor will be able to buy two or three bottles of Coke a week, and they do.
And so according to your theory, when you go somewhere and you find that people can't get access to Coca-Cola, what other conditions would you be likely to find in that sort of a place?
Coke is a sort of staple product in the shopping basket, whether you're in Ghana or in Malawi. Take a particular marketplace. For example, Kenya, we had a very bad election crisis in January and February this year, in which about 1,800 people died and about 300,000 people were made homeless. And we were able to look at the sales of Coca-Cola in Western Kenya and some of the slums in Nairobi, and you basically can correlate the tension and then the easing off of tension between the sales of Coke. That's obviously applied in certain other countries like Zimbabwe during the immigration riots in South Africa. So yeah, I think it's just a very interesting sort of indicator in a continent where we don't have many indicators. Coke provides quite a stable baseline. I think for that reason it's quite interesting.
You mentioned Kenya during the elections and Zimbabwe. Where else in Africa have you seen Coke having trouble with its sales?
Almost every African country can run a Coca-Cola bottling plant, mostly from sugar, which is bought, if not in the country, then regionally. Well, we got three countries, Zimbabwe, Somalia, and Eritrea, also, I think, Central African Republic, where the Coca-Cola plant doesn't work. Somalia, which had a bottling plant which survived amazingly through a lot of the crisis, but then last year, the pirates took a sugar shipment off the coast of Somalia, and then the militiamen kidnapped some of the Coca-Cola bottling workers. So that was the end of Coke in Somalia.
Jonathan, this is a very unorthodox way to measure a country's economy. I'm curious how this theory came about. I kind of picture you on a hot day popping open a bottle of Coke and then looking at it and having a light bulb moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, Coke is such an interesting product because it's a pan-African product. It's found in almost every African country. When you get out of a big city, you get to a smaller town, and then you get to the village, and even the sort of sub-village, some guy on a bicycle will be taking, you know, five or six Cokes to, you know, just a shack, basically, in the Congolese jungle or in the backwaters of Ethiopia. And it's kind of amazing that that product can penetrate that far, both income-wise and geographically. A drop in the sales of Coke will be reflected in political, cultural, ethnic disturbances. And, you know, you can sort of correlate those things.
Jonathan Lejard of The Economist magazine, thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex. I really appreciate the time.
BS. BS. BS.